for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday morning service of December the 29th, 1996, of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the morning.
Praise God.
Thanks, Glenn.
Well, how many know there is a big responsibility to a place like this? Praise God. I want Armin and Glenn to just stand, and I want us to reach your hands towards them this morning. Let's pray for them. Just stand up, Armin and Glenn. Everybody pray. Let's reach your hands out. Father, we lift our hands towards our brother and sister this morning, Lord. We thank you for their dedication, Father, and their obedience, God. They've obeyed you here in this place. We ask, Father, that you would help them now, Lord God. We ask, Father, that you would send in those that, Lord, that they need at this time to help them. We pray for the finances to come in, Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit to just overshadow this campground in a new and a living way. Father, we bind and come against every attack against this campground and against Irma and Glenn. We ask the Holy Spirit to protect and keep and, Lord, preserve them and preserve this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. You know, she was singing about that new song there in Psalms 90. How many saw that in verse 1? Let's go to Psalms 40. I want to touch on the song just a minute before we go in the book of Revelation. I'm here glad you're here today. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad I'm here. Amen. Glad the Lord allowed me to come here to Lake Hamilton and learned a lot by coming here. I mean, no, we don't know it all. If anyone thinks he does, he's deceived. Amen. Look in Psalms 40. Let me thank God for deliverance here. Praise God. Psalms 40. Notice what David said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Well, how many know we do a lot of waiting sometimes, but it's not always, you know, with patience. Isn't that right? How many say amen to that? And yet we wait on a lot of things, a lot of people, and do a lot of things sometimes, and we're patient, and really, it's not even the things of God. But he said, I waited patiently, though. I waited patiently for who, though? For the Lord. How does patience come? Tribulation works patience, and we're to be patient in tribulation. But how many know, and also that works experience in our life, isn't that right? Romans says. But he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Anyone want to wait on the Lord this morning? How many know it's not just 5 minutes? It's not the prayer you know, now lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul to keep you're in bed, you know. No, there's times you have to spend minutes and hours with God. Isn't that right? And it's not how much we say to God. How many know there's sometimes we need to just be quiet in his presence? Isn't that right? But he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and notice what God did. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. So David was crying out. David was praying. David was seeking the Lord. And he stayed there. He was patient until God came with an answer. Amen. How many know God's got all the answers this morning? Praise the Lord. You ever get up and feel like you don't have any answers? Well, let me tell you who's got them. Wait patiently on the Lord. He's got them. Now, notice it says he brought me up also out of this horrible pit. I waited on God, I heard God, and then God moved in my behalf. He brought me out of this horrible pit. That means a pit of noise. It means a pit of destruction. You ever felt like you were in a pit of destruction? Amen. How many know God can bring you out and bring you through? Praise God. And notice, out of this horrible pit, or this pit of noise, out of the miry clay, out of the mud. How many's been in the mud before? Besides me. We all have, haven't we? Set my feet, come on, upon a rock. There's stability here. The rock is Christ. He set my feet on that rock. And then he said something else. He established my goings, being led of the Holy Spirit. God is leading. Amen? So once we wait on God, he brings us out of that pit of noise, that pit of destruction. He sets our feet in a stable place, and he begins to direct our pathway. And then in verse 3 it says, he hath put, hallelujah, a new song. How many like new songs? I like to sing the old, but I want to say something. We need some new songs today, don't we? We like to hear some old messages, but we need new messages. Come on. Out of the treasure comes forth that which is old and new. Isn't that right? And so we need something that's new. And it says he hath put a new song. Notice what he did here. He brought me up out of the, well, he heard my cry. He brought us out of the pit, right? He set our feet on that rock. He established my going, and he's putting the song. Everything's him. Everything is him. Amen. He hath put a new song. Come on, in my, well, if it's in your mouth, it's also in your heart, isn't it? Even, here it is. Here's the song. Even praise unto our God. It's not to man, it's to God. Praise God. Many shall see it and fear. The fear of God will take hold of them and shall trust in the Lord. Now, did you notice that verse? It didn't say many shall hear it. They shall see it. You become the song. You become the song. Now, I don't mean we're drawing attention to ourselves, but yet it's the Lord in us. Amen. Now, first of all, verse 1, patiently and persistently he waited on God. Let me see that. Verse 2, he brought us out of this pit of noise by his power. Hallelujah. And verse 3, there's praise in our mouth. He put a song in our mouth. So verse 1, I'm waiting on God. Verse 2, I'm watching God do it, bring me out of these things. And 3, I'm a witness to others because of that song. Hallelujah. So thank God for the new song. Let's turn to Revelation now. Go to 14th chapter. Let's see this song here. Revelation 14. Anybody want a new song today? How many of you got a song in your heart? You got some joy in there. Isn't that right? You got some praise in there. Glory to God. And you'll notice in verse 3, this people that says they sung as it were a new song before the throne. Praise God. I mean, if you sing here, you'll also sing there. Chapter 15 of Revelation. Revelation 15. In verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. They were singing not only about the Lord, but also about his ways here in chapter 15. Look in chapter 5 of Revelation. 5:10 of Revelation. Revelation 5:10. Praise the Lord. That's not the one. It's verse 9. Here it says, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Praise God. So there's a new song. All right, now, I want to share a word that God gave me quite a while back on overcoming. And how many believe that every day we have to overcome something? It may be physical, it may be mental, it may be financial, it may be in your home, it can be on your job, whatever. But how many know if we overcome today, we're an overcomer? Amen? And most of the time, now listen to this, most of the time, we're overcome in areas before we overcome. Most of the time, we have been overcome, and we have to rise up and overcome those things that overcome us. Can you hear that? All right. Let's go to Revelation 2. Forgive my voice this morning. It's a little hoarse, but we're going to make it. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 2. The first thing we have to overcome is leaving the love of God. How many know the love of God is the greatest force there is in the world? You can know all the mysteries, have all the revelations, but without love, you and I are nothing. Can you say amen? You can give your body to be burned. You can take groceries to people. You can prophesy to people. How many know all those are good? But without love, we're nothing. The greatest message in the Bible to me is the love of God. How many know Jesus? God so loved the world, he sent Jesus, amen, to die for you and I. And so here in chapter 4, look at verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. It says, and he said, and has borne and has patience. For my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. This is the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus means, this word, this church here means desirable. Because thou hast left, come on, thy first love. He said, I've got something against you because you've left your first love. What would he say to us today? What would the Lord have against us today? Would it be the same thing? Would it be other things? Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. I want you to notice, when you leave the love of God, you begin to fall, don't you? People say you can't fall from grace. That's a lie. You can fall from grace. You can fall from your stability in God. You can fall from God if you go the opposite direction. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do what? The first works. Notice that. First love, first works. For else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Without the love of God, let me tell you what we have. We have a religious club. We have a religious club is all we have without love. Can you hear that? And I don't want no religious club. How about you? I've seen enough of that stuff. Praise God. Now, he tells them here in this letter to the Ephesus, they're good points. Then he tells them they're bad points. And then he tells them to repent. And so if we have left our love this morning, brethren, we have to repent. Amen? We have to repent before God if we've left our love. If Jesus is not more real to us today than he used to be, then we have fallen. We have left something. Amen? And we need to repent. Praise God. So we must do that those first works again as we come back to our first love as well. Now, look in 1 John 2. Let me show you what happens when we stop moving in the love of God. 1 John chapter 2. I mean, when we leave the love of God, the Word of God doesn't mean much to us as it used to mean. Isn't that right? And brethren, I don't understand people that go all week and don't read the study of the Scriptures. How can you do that? How many know this is our food today? You have to have food of the natural, but this is our food. In 1 John 2, 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, his word, his sayings. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, his words, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now look at the next verse. But whoso keepeth his word, or his sayings, or his commandments, in him, that's in you and that's in me, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. How many know God's love can't be perfected apart from this word? Never. You don't love God anymore and you love his word. Amen? Hereby know we that we are in him. And so, we must keep his word, we must keep his commandments, we must keep his sayings, and that love of God will be perfected in us. So when we begin to drift from the love of God and from Jesus, then his word doesn't mean what it used to mean. It just becomes a book. But how many know when the illumination and the light of God shines upon this book, there's nothing like it. Amen? Praise God. I love to study the Scriptures. I love to read the word. God gave me a love for the truth. He gave me a love for the word when I got saved. And I still have it. He put it in me. How many know he puts those qualities in us? Isn't that right? And we should never, we should always thank God for that. Amen. So we must not depart from his word. All right, now look in 1 John 4. Something else begins to take hold of us. When we walk away from this love, there's a lot of things we could talk about. But look in 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment. There's going to be a people here in the day of judgment, brethren. And we need boldness. Because as he is, so are we where? In this world. Was Jesus the manifestation of God's love? Was Jesus the Son of love? Sure, the Son of God. God's love, and Jesus was the Son of God. He's the Son of love, and he was manifested in the flesh, wasn't he? What's God doing today? He's raising up sons of God and sons of love. Amen. Hallelujah. That will also be manifested in God's time. But look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. And if we have fear in us, how many know we're not moving in love? We're not operating in love. There's something else crowding love out. Isn't that right? There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Perfect love. Casteth out fear. Because fear hath what? Come on. Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So, as we drift away from the Lord and turn from that love, torment begins to take hold of us. Amen. How many know that's demonic powers? And as long as we stay with Jesus, come on, and stay in that love and let that love begin to operate and move in me and through me, I want to tell you, it's pushing out. It's delivering us from all that old fear and torment. Amen? All right. Then look in Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Hallelujah. I thank God for his love today. Revelation 22, 14. He said, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, envious are they that do what, brethren? Do his commandments, his sayings, his words. He said, those that do his commandments are blessed. Turn that around. Those that will not do his commandments are not blessed. Does that sound all right? All right. Blessed are those that do his commandments, that they, those that do his commandments, they're doers of the word, that they may have the right or the privilege or the authority to something, to the tree of life. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is that tree of life today? And he said, those that do the commandments, those that do his word, his sayings, those that are doer of the word, they have that authority, that right, that privilege to that tree of life. Turn to Revelation 2:7. Hold your place there. Revelation 2:7. Thank you, Lord. I love to teach the overcoming word. I think it's a great message. You know, brethren, I went to Bible college, grew up in some churches. Never, to my knowledge, I was never taught much on the overcomer. You don't hear much people talking about the overcomer. We throw everybody together in these churches. How many know he separated the churches from the overcomers here? Or the overcomers came out of the churches, I should say. Okay, where did I say go? Revelation 2:7. Okay, thank you. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the what? Come on. Tree of life that's in the midst of the paradise of God. Remember Paul was caught up in the paradise? And yet he said right here to the overcomer, he'll be able to partake and eat of that tree of life that's in the middle or the midst of paradise. Turn to Revelation 22, just a minute, and look in verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and notice on either side of the river, there was what? Come on. The tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I could go on and say a lot of things about that. There's a lot there in those scriptures. But I just want to show you that the tree of life is there. Now, how many know Ezekiel talks about the trees? I mean, no, he's the tree of life, and yet we are, come on, trees of righteousness. Isn't that right? The planting of the Lord that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Now, turn back now to Revelation 22:14. So we see those that do his word, his commandments. And remember, he said, if you love me, you'll what? You'll keep my commandments. So these are those who love him. And these are, in verse 14, are the overcomers. Because they're doing his commandments. They have that right to that tree of life that he mentions in Revelation 2:7 to those overcomers. And they will be the first to enter in through all 12 gates into the city. How many gates were there? 12. What's the number 12? It's divine government. They'll enter God's government first. How many know they won't fight the government of God? They'll submit to it. Amen? And a lot of people don't want God's government. Isn't that right? So, that's the overcomers. Because they are doing his word and so forth. Now, turn with me to another scripture. Turn to James. James. Let me show you what else will happen to us when we begin to drift from this love. James 2:5. How many old preachers can just go through the ritual and get up and preach and teach and, you know, do their thing? But how many know even preaching you can walk away from this love? You got to spend time with God. Preachers, say with me, we got to spend time in God's presence. Amen. We got to receive some new truth and revelations from God. Amen. To feed the people. Can you say amen? But here in James chapter 2 and verse 5, I want you to see this. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? But how many know a lot of poor people out there who don't have anything in the natural that are not rich in faith? I know all kind of them out there. But how many know there's those that's poor in spirit? Come on. That are rich in faith. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means a broken and a contrite heart. It's also one that says, God, I can't make it without you. They rely on God every day. They don't rely on their strength.
How many know we need to rely on God? Amen? And he said he's made them rich in faith. And what else? Heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him. So those that love the Lord, those that won't leave that love, they're entering the kingdom. If we walk away from Jesus, how many know we're walking away from the kingdom? Any man put his hand to the plow, come on, looks back, is not fit for the kingdom. Isn't that right? Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this. Oh, I tell you, there's so much in this chapter. I love it. Look in verse 3. He says here that he has given his divine power to us in verse 3 that pertains to life and godliness. Verse 4, he talks about these great and precious promises and how we're partakers of his divine nature. How many thank God for his character and nature today? Oh, we need that, brethren. You know, I believe in miracles and healing and deliverance, all these things. And I thank God for that. But how many know the greatest miracles that is the nature of God worked out in you? And part of that is through deliverance. We get these things out of us. Come on, and the Lord can come into us. Isn't that right? All right, now, look at verse 5. And besides this, he says, giving all diligence, add to your, number one, faith what? Come on.
Virtue.
This word virtue means to excel. We excel as sinners, but how much more as a Christian? How much more as the minister of the Lord, the people of God? And then from virtue, knowledge. And from knowledge, temperance or self-control. From temperance, patience. And from patience, godliness. And from godliness, brotherly love, kindness. And notice from brotherly kindness, what's the last one? Love, charity. That is the height, the zenith that God's bringing us to. For if these things be where? In you and abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren. That word barren means idle. How many know it's dangerous to be an idle Christian? You'll not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, these seven or eight things, is blind. He cannot see afar. Hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore, therefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, I believe in eternal security here. If we have all these qualities in us, and they're abounding, amen, and we're walking them, I believe we're secure. But if we turn from that, how many know it's a different story? And how many know the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, amen? But we, at times, do that to him if we're not careful. Verse 11, for so an entrance, now notice this, all these qualities, especially the last one, he said, so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's an entrance into the kingdom because of this nature of Christ that's being worked out, especially coming to that last one. That charity to me covers all of them. Hallelujah. Okay? Praise God. So we don't want to walk away from the kingdom of God. Now, let me give you a couple examples of those who walked away from God. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Here was a man who walked away from that love. 2 Timothy 4, he was a preacher with Paul. Can you imagine preaching with Paul and being with Paul with all the truth and revelation he had, seeing Jesus, knowing Jesus, and this man walks away from that. 2 Timothy 4:10. Let's read it. If you got your Bible, read it with me. For Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. See that? Demas went AWOL. Demas left me. Demas forsook me. One thing to forsake man, but notice, he forsook me having loved this present world. He loved the world more at this time than he did God. Amen? How many know Paul felt the effects of that? How many has ever been let down by a brother and sister? Come on. Amen. That went back to the world. You know, or other things could happen, but that's what happened here. Now, when we love the world, how many know we're conformed to it? We're conformed to it. Instead of being transformed by the power of God, we're being conformed, fashioned according to it. And then he was blinded. He was blinded by the god of this age or this world, Demas was. And how many know, brethren, we can be blinded? Number 3, he became an enemy of God because if we love this world, we're an enemy of God, it says. And 4, he lost the love of the Father. Because he went after the world. He was not delivered from it that I know of in Scripture. He loved it. He submitted to it. And he had this heart problem. Because in his heart, something of this age, there was something of this age attracted him, attracted his inner man, or his inner eye, I guess you'd say, or his flesh. And he went after it. And he went into apostasy, evidently. He went backward and not forward. So God help us not to leave this love. Now turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Jesus said this would happen before his coming. Jesus said it would happen before his coming. I believe his words. Matthew 24, 45. And there's so much here, I'm just going to touch a few things. It says, who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over what? I mean, oh, that's the church. That can be your own home, but it also is the church. To give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I want you to notice, if this man is faithful and wise, he's going to be a blessed servant when the Lord comes. But something changes in verse 47. You know why? Because something happened in his heart. There's something happened in his heart. Verse 47. Verse 48. But verse 47, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. Verse 48, but if that evil servant, so it goes from a faithful servant to an evil servant, shall say in his what? Heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. So the first thing is, he's saying the Lord is putting off his coming. When we walk away from the love of God, the coming of Jesus is not imminent. When we're in the Spirit, his coming is always imminent. Are you hearing me? Not only in us, but even out there. And so he said, my Lord is delaying his coming. Let me tell you, Jesus is not delaying his coming. The Father has a day set that Jesus will come. Amen? And so something has happened in his heart. Something has happened on the inside of this one. And he's saying that. Verse 49. And then notice what he's going to do. He's going to begin to smite the brethren. He shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. He becomes a smiter and a fighter. A beater, not a feeder. I mean, those shepherds are not to beat the sheep or smite the sheep. Mm-mm. He shall begin to smite his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunken. Now, this word smite, or this word beating here actually means, it means to wound the conscience. And so when a man is not walking in the Spirit, he's not walking in love, he's not looking for the coming of the Lord, he begins to beat the people. He begins to beat the people, not with his fists, but with this right here. I mean, you can kill people with this word right here. Without the Spirit of God and the love of God, you can kill people with it, can't you? And so he begins to beat them, smite them. And he's no longer feeding, he's beating them. Okay, and then it says something else. Notice, it says there, and he begins to eat and drink with who? The drunken. I want you to notice that. How many know that's the crowd up in verse, what, 38? That's Noah's crowd. Eat and drink with the drunken. Drunken doesn't just mean whiskey and wine and those kind. How many know there's a lot of things you can get drunk on out there? A lot of things you can go for. But nevertheless, he begins to eat and drink. He begins to run with the wrong crowd. He begins to not follow the real people of God any longer. He's out with another crowd. And then verse 50, notice, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. So he's not looking for the Lord's coming. A lot of people talk about the rapture, but you know, are they really looking for Jesus coming? Hallelujah. When he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of. I believe the coming of the Lord is going to catch a lot of people by surprise, don't you? His coming is like a thief. And a thief means an element of surprise. A thief doesn't knock on your door and say, now I'm going to come at 3:00 in the morning and steal all your jewelry. No, he comes at the right time. And the Lord is going to come upon the church as well as the world as a thief. Amen? And then it says, he shall cut him asunder upon him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of preachers in hell at one time knew the truth. They've walked away from the love of God and the truth, and they're going to end up in hell. I believe preachers will fall just like other people. Look in Revelation chapter 12. God help us never to fall. Can you hear that? Don't get cocky and prideful that you can't fall. I want to tell you something. People fall every day. God help us to be faithful to the Lord. Chapter 4, what does it say, verse 3? There appeared another, chapter 12, verse 3, excuse me. Revelation 12, 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, that old fiery dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And notice his tail I told you the other night, that tale is the false prophets. The minister of the false prophets. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth into the carnal realm. And the dragon stood before the woman that was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. So as God raises up this bride, as God's about to bring forth a man child, there's people falling out of the heavenlies in apostasy. They're coming down. Now, I want to show you. How many know that tail is alive today? The tail of Satan is alive today in the church. And in this chapter, not only do you have a tail, but you also have a mouth and a face. And they're all against Jesus Christ's church. Can you hear that? How many know the devil hates you today? Amen. That tail hates you. That face hates you. Come on, that mouth hates you. Let's look at this mouth here. Look in Revelation 16. Then I want to take you to Ezekiel. Look in Revelation 16. How many know God's looking for some intercessors today? You know who the intercessors are going to be? Those overcomers. Look here in Revelation 16, please. Look with me in verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's your false trinity. For they're spirits of devils. Notice, working miracles. In this end of the age, there's going to be a lot of false miracles, and we better know the difference between the true and the false. Which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And notice when this is happening right before Jesus comes. He hadn't come yet, right here in chapter 16 of Revelation. And yet they try to tell us we're called out in chapter 4 of Revelation. Right here, look in chapter 16, verse 15, of chapter 16. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, they see his shame. And then he gathers the people there into Armageddon. Now go over to Ezekiel a minute. Hallelujah. That false prophet ministry is prophets teaching lies. I want to go to Micah first, then we're going over to Ezekiel. Let's go to Micah. Micah. Hallelujah. Look in chapter 3 and notice what he says in verse 11. He said, the heads, the leaders, judge for reward. The priests teach for hire. And the prophets, they're of divine, that's divination, for money. And we know we got a lot of diviners in America that's divining for money. I'm telling you, brother, you know Jesus cleaned the temple out twice. At the beginning of his ministry, at the end of his ministry. And he not only condemned those that sold, but also those that bought. And if we buy the wares, come on, of the false prophet ministry, and we put our money into that, we're just as guilty as those who sell. Are you hearing that? And so he said here that prophets divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. What deception there is. Now look at the next verse. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. So God is going to judge. And I believe where there is religious divination like this, we're going to see the judgment of God fall. Amen? Now go to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. We've read these scriptures many times. Probably in the past, some of us. God sought for a man among the people, didn't he? But let's see what kind of people they were. Let's see what kind of people they were, brethren. Look with me, if you will, in Ezekiel 22, verse 26. Hallelujah. It says, her priests. Now, this is concerning the people of God in the Old Testament. Her priests have violated my law. They profane my holy things. They have put no difference, there's no discernment here, between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Then look at 27. First you have the priests, now the princes, the leaders. In the midst, they're like wolves ravening to the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, and get what? Come on. Dishonest gain. Verse 28. Now he talks about the prophets. They have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, and notice, divining lies, that's divination, unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. And then 29, we have the people of the land. They've used oppression, exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy, and they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And so God says, among the priests, the princes, the prophets, and the people, verse 30, I sought for a man. God has a man. But where is this man? I sought for a man among them, among the priests, the princes, the prophets, and the people. Now hold your place for a minute. Go to Jeremiah 5. God's looking for this man, isn't he? Jeremiah 5. And look at verse 1. Look at verse 1 now. He said, run ye to and fro throughout the streets of Jerusalem. I mean, oh, Jerusalem's a church today to us. And see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if you can find what? A man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth. And God said, I will pardon it. I mean, it was Abraham's intercession as a man that brought Lot out safe. Amen? Now turn to Ezekiel 9. Let's see this man among them. Hallelujah. God said, I sought for a man among them. So here in Ezekiel 9, he tells us this man, who this man will be. Ezekiel 9, verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men, six is the number of man, came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. I want you to notice, a slaughter weapon. How many know you got to upgrade the weapons for 1996 here? Amen? We have atomic weapons, nuclear weapons, all kind of gases, biological warfare, chemical warfare, germ warfare, where? We've got to upgrade all the armament for today. And yet he said, I saw. How many of us more than a little sword out here? Come on now. We're in a different era of time, aren't we? And yet he said something here. Every man has a slaughter weapon in his hand. And then he said in verse 2, and one man. Where is this man at? Among them. Hallelujah. Was clothed with linen. That's the overcomer. A rider's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, so something's going to be judged. Now, there's two things I want you to see here. There's two choices right here. There's deliverance, or there's death. I mean, of those that were marked by God was delivered. And those that were not marked by God, there was death. Amen? Then look at verse 3. You'll notice the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub. The glory lifted. The glory of God lifted, it says here. And then he calls in verse 3, he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, through the midst of the church today. Set a mark upon what? Come on. The foreheads of the men that sigh and cry. Who's sighing and crying? The intercessors. The intercessors. And where are they seeing this abomination? Not just on the world, but also on the church. Amen. He said, put a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And then he said, after they were marked, after those that were marked that were sighing and crying, to the others he said in mine hearing, go you after him through the city. Smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. And then he tells what else he's going to do there. Now let me show this word mark. It's only used one other time. Go to Job 31:35. It's used one other time in the Old Testament. Job 31:35. The same word for mark. 31:35. Yes, here it is. Job said, oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is. That word desire is the word for mark. That word desire is the same word in Ezekiel 9 as mark. My desire is that the Almighty would answer me, that mine adversary had written a book, and so forth. That word desire is the word for mark. How many desires God to mark you? Amen. I believe we're being marked. Amen. I believe it started when we got saved. I believe when we feel the Holy Ghost, it also, we were marked. And I believe at the end of this age, God saving your soul, the final mark is coming. Amen. Brother, did you have something? Oh, I thought, okay. I thought you just raised your hand. Praise God. All right, now, so anyway, we do some overcoming. Let's go back to Ezekiel 22. Let's see what God says here now in the midst of all of this. In verse 30, I sought for a man among them, among those priests, princes, prophets, and people, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God said, I couldn't find any. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. God's calling for his intercessors, brethren, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Amen? Intercede for your family. Intercede for your neighbors. Intercede for the body of Christ or whoever God directs you to intercede for. And I really believe that God is calling out those intercessors in this hour, and he's marking them. Amen? Praise God. So let God mark us. Let God do the work as we seek him. I say it this way. The sons of God are sealed because they seek God. The sons of God are sealed. Why? Because they're seeking God. Amen? Turn to Revelation 7. I don't know if I'll ever get back to Revelation where we started tonight or today or not. But I want to go look at this seal. I want to be sealed, brethren. Amen? And you know, when the tribulation breaks out, we better be sealed. Chapter 7 of Revelation. Look at the last verse of chapter 6. He said, the great day of his wrath, the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? Question mark. Who's going to stand in the day of wrath? Who's going to stand in the day of the Lord? Well, he tells us in chapter 7. He tells us in chapter 7. He tells us in chapter 14. He tells us in chapter 3. He tells us in chapter 22. He tells us, hallelujah, in chapter 14. I said that. In chapter 15. He tells us who's going to stand here in the book of Revelation. Look in chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels. Four is the number of what? Creation and the world. Four angels. Oh, I made a study through of angels throughout the book of Revelation recently. I'll tell you, it's astonishing how many are redeemed people. It's called angels. Do you know that? Well, if you don't, you do now. So just study it yourself. I'm telling you the truth. There's a lot of angels in Revelation that were men who have gone on to be with the Lord. He calls them prophets and his servants. But after these things, I saw four angels standing on what? The four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on any sea, nor on any tree. Now, what is the earth? But how many know this is earth? And so these angels are holding back this judgment from the earth. And also, what's the next one? The sea. What's the sea, brethren? What is the sea? The natural sea, but the sea is humanity. And what else is the third one? The tree. Natural trees, but how many know we're trees? Yeah, we're trees. We're trees. Now hold your place. Look in chapter 9. Let me show you God's protecting his trees. Chapter 9. And look at verse 3 and 4. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, as out of the bottomless pit. And unto them there was given power, as the scorpions of the earth hath power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, the earth, any green thing, neither any what? Tree. But only those men which have not what? Come on. The seal of God where? In their foreheads. They could not touch those that had the seal of God. This is during the tribulation. Church is not gone. The church is here. The church will be here. And God will protect his people. Can you say amen? Those that seal. And so back in chapter 7, he said, don't you touch the earth. Don't you touch the sea. Don't you touch the trees until something happens. In verse 2. Now, that was the four angels in chapter 7. Then chapter 7, verse 2, he said, I saw another angel. Well, if he saw four, then he saw another. How many is that?
Five.
What's the number five? Brother Pittman said it last night. Grace, but it's also fivefold ministry, isn't it? Apostles, come on, prophets, teachers, shepherds, evangelists. And he saw this fifth angel, this ministry angel, ascending from the east. Notice he's ascending, not descending. He's coming up from the east. East is where the sun comes up. It's where light begins to, the sun comes up in the morning. You see it. And so this angel is ascending from the east. He's coming from light and he's bringing light, isn't he? Because he said, having the what? The seal of the living God. How many know life is sealing us? God is a living God. He's not a dead God. Come on, he's alive. And he cried. Notice this angel cried with a loud voice. How many know there's a cry in the land? There's a cry. The Holy Ghost has a cry in the land. Those that will hear it will heed and be sealed. And those that will not, will not. But he cried with a loud voice to the four angels. Notice, to the four angels. Now he's crying back to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth, the sea, and so forth. Saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we. Notice that word, we. That's more than one, isn't it? That's plurality. That's a ministry. Till we. Hallelujah. Now, I know it's God in a people. It's not just man. It's God in a people. But till we have what? Till we have sealed these bond servants of our God in their foreheads. The mind of Christ. Now turn to Revelation 22. And look at and don't let those tribes throw you. They're in chapter 7. People won't get off on the natural. If you study that out, there's a lot more that I could go in and show you on that. But look here in chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. How many know that is a communion with Jesus. They shall see his face. They'll look upon his face. And notice his name or nature shall be where, brethren? In their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They will not need no candle. Now the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever. And what? Ever. Hallelujah. They're going to look upon his face. And his name or his nature shall be in their foreheads. Let's turn to Revelation 3. Thank you, Lord. Brethren, we need to be sealed today, don't we? Sealed by God's power. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name or the nature of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. How many know New Jerusalem is also a people? Do you know that? The bride, called the bride. Amen. And he said something else here. Which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him, come on, my what? My new name. Now turn to Revelation 19. Glory. My new name. All right, John in chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 11. He says something here. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were what? Many crowns. Chapter 6. Chapter 14 there's one crown. But here in chapter 19 there's many crowns. And he had a name. Notice this. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he said, I'm going to write upon the overcomer my new name, didn't he? All right. Now look in verse 13. And he was clothed with the vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called what?
The Word of God.
What's sealing you today?
The
Holy Ghost is sealing your mind with his word. How many believe that? Amen. Let's go now to Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, I believe it's 31, somewhere through here. I want 30, 31, maybe 33. I don't know. Hallelujah. All right, Jeremiah 31. And it says this, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord, But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law where? First of all, where's it going to be? All right. Where is the, and what is the inward part? It's your soul. Do you know that? From the scriptures. It's your soul. And then he said, I'll write it also where else? In their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. All right, now turn to Hebrews 10, or 8. Let's go to 8 first. Let's see. We're talking about a ceiling today. Hebrews 8, and look at verse 10. Hebrews 8, 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws where? Now, in the Old Testament, it was inward parts. Here is the mind. I mean, want your mind changed. And write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. Then look in chapter 10, Hebrews 10. There's another scripture, if I can find it, in verse 16. 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws. What is God's laws? His word, isn't it? Huh? I will put my laws where? In their hearts and in their minds will I write them. Praise God. So God, Jesus is doing something. Now there's another scripture. Go back to Revelation. Somebody may have to help me find this. It's in chapter 2. It's about a white stone. It's Revelation 2 here. Is it 11, Glenn? Let's see. Is it chapter 2? Somebody find that white stone here. Chapter 2 of Revelation, or chapter 3, one of them. 2:17. Thank you, brother. Okay. All right. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a what? A new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. What does the word name mean? A new nature. How many thank God the new nature has already started working in us, in our spirit? But God hadn't completely finished it in our soul yet, has he? Anybody here got a total mind of Christ today? Well, we do by faith, don't we? Praise God. We do by faith. But yet God is working some things out through deliverance, through dying out to yourself and the Lord pouring in it. How many know your soul is a product of really what God's done in your spirit? And he moves up into your mind, your will, your emotions, your desires, and begins to change those areas. And it's little by little we know that's taking place. So God is sealing his people. Now let's go back to Revelation 2 here. So the first thing to overcome, we said, was we must not walk away from this love. Amen? That's the first thing. Now, the second thing, the second church is Pergamos, which means myrrh. Myrrh speaks of bitterness. And we don't need to get bitter, but we go through some bitter experiences sometimes, don't we? But what do we have to overcome here in this second church? It's not the second church. It's not Pergamos. It's Smyrna in verse 8 of chapter 2. It's Smyrna. Smyrna means myrrh. And what we have to overcome here in this church is the fear of death. And how many old people don't like to suffer? But we enter the kingdom through what? Much tribulation. Now, there is suffering for Christ, isn't there? Peter talked so much about suffering. There's the suffering for Christ. There is suffering that we bring on ourselves because of our mistakes and our faults, right? How many can attest to that? Okay. And then there is suffering that the devil brings against us. Now, look here what Jesus said to this church. At Smyrna, he said in verse 8, these things saith the first and the last, he that was dead, notice that, and is alive. He knew what death is. He knows what death is. Amen? I mean, the one that conquered death can also keep you from fear of death. All right. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Now, we don't exalt poverty, but this church was in poverty. There was a people in poverty here. Amen? How many thank God we're coming out of poverty? Not only naturally, but spiritually. But that don't mean he's going to make us all millionaires, though, does it? Here to some of these evangelists, we're going to all be millionaires, you know? Well, some of them are, and that's fine. But how many know we better have Christ in us? We better have the gold and silver from above first. Come on, amen? Praise God. But thou art rich, he said. You have me. I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not, but they're the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And how many know that prison may be your own home? Maybe your own church, maybe your job, maybe wherever. That you may be tried. He said, you shall have tribulation 10 days. For some, it may be 10 years. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee, come on, a crown of life. Let's turn that around. If we're not faithful unto death, there will be no crown. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of what? The second death. Now, there's natural death, there's spiritual death, and there's eternal death. And he said, if you overcome, that second death, which is the lake of fire, will never touch you as an overcomer. Let me see that. So don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid even of the second death if you truly overcome. Amen. Now go to Revelation 20. Here are those overcomers that have truly overcome. Verse 4. He said, I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And notice they lived and reigned with Christ how long? All right, he said, if you suffer with me, you shall what? Reign with me. All right, now look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such what? The second death, which is that lake of fire, hath no power. Well, if the second death has no power over these are overcomers. Let me see that. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They have suffered. They have went through the fire. They have been faithful. And God said the second death will not touch them. They'll reign with me. Hallelujah. 1,000 years. And I want to tell you, not everybody's going to rule and reign with Jesus. But those that suffer, those that go through those things that we've been put in, and we go through it with the right spirit. How many know he can bring us through every fire, every test, every tribulation, every heartache? Come on, he can bring us through, can he? We're learning to overcome, aren't we? We're learning that, praise God. We haven't arrived, we're learning that, amen. So, we have to overcome that fear of death. And then I'm going to close with this. The third thing is the last church. The third church is Pergamos. Pergamos in chapter 2, verse 12. I believe it's verse, no, it's on down here somewhere. Let me find it. What verse? Okay, 2:12. Okay, I was looking in the wrong chapter. Thanks. 2:12. Here's Pergamos. Pergamos means height or tall, something high or tall. And he said to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things saith the Lord, that hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and so forth. Now, he comes on down to verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone before the children of Israel. And then in verse 15, he talks about the other doctrine of the Nicolaitans that's also in this church. So in this church, we have to overcome two things. Balaam, the Balaam spirit, and the spirit of the Nicolaitans, or the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, how many know that Balaam had gift and would travel for money? Amen? That was his problem. The Bible talks about the doctrine of Balaam, the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam in Peter, in Jude, and here in Revelation. Now, I want to take you to Numbers 31. You know, Balaam could not curse the people of God at that time because they were walking in righteousness. But if you go to Numbers 31, he gave some information out that if the king would do it, I mean, the people would be cursed as a result. And so here in chapter 31, first of all, we see this. He's really saying, King, if you just get your beautiful women and put them out on the front line, the men of Israel will see those women and go into them and they'll have intercourse. All right, look here in 31:16. Behold, these calls the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass, notice, against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now, let's go back to chapter 25. Chapter 25. There's so much in these chapters. And how many know Balaam at one time was a true prophet? He had visions of God. He had saw God. He had seen so much. And yet he died as a soothsayer. He died in the occult. And he sold out for money. Chapter 25. Now in chapter 25, here's God's people. They're in a place called Shittim. They sinned against God. There were sexual sins. There was sacrifice to gods, which is idolatry. And there was spiritual adultery. Israel abode in Shittim, and notice the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And how many know there's two kinds of whoredoms, naturally and spiritually? And they called the people unto the sacrifices, notice, of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And if you look over in verse 9, 24,000 people died as a result of having a union with those gods. So there were sexual sins, there was sacrifice to gods, spiritual adultery as well as natural adultery. And it was in a place called Shittim. Amen. How many know God will judge sin in this hour? Amen. He is a jealous God, brethren. And so we have to overcome that spirit of Balaam. It's right in the church. All these things are in the churches. Now let's go back to Revelation and see what he says. I want to show you something here. Back in Revelation chapter 2, I want you to notice verse 14. Of these that were involved with this doctrine of Balaam. He said, I have a few things against thee because thou hast there, notice the word, them. He didn't say everybody, but he said them. That hold the teaching of Balaam. Everybody see that? Then also in verse 15, so hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, what is that doctrine? That is those who rule, the ministry who rule over the people, who literally dominate the people. They take the place of the Holy Ghost, amen, and they rule and control people's lives. And how many know that's very dangerous? Now, I believe in authority. I believe in God's fivefold ministry, and I believe in authority. But we're not to be dictators. We're not to dictate. Come on, we're not to dominate. Amen? How many want to be under a dictator? No, none of us. And God says, repent, or I will come unto thee. And verse 16, I will come to thee quickly and will fight against who? Who's he going to fight against? Them. Who's them? Those that hold to this doctrine of Balaam and to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And I'm going to fight with the sword of my mouth, which is the anointed word. Amen? Praise God. I think I'll stop there. I just got through a few of those. I have a lot more, but we've given you enough. Those chairs get hard. I sit on them too, and they get pretty hard sometimes. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand together. Anybody want to overcome? Are there areas in your life that you've overcome today? I'm sure there is. Many areas. Amen. But how many know there's other areas that we haven't overcome yet? Amen. We need Jesus today, don't we? We need that love. That love of God, brother, will help us to overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Amen. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We love You today, Lord. We submit to You, Lord God. Hallelujah. We all want to be an overcomer, Lord. We want to be an overcomer, Father. Father, forgive us for walking away from that love in any area of our life. We repent today, God. There are areas in us, Lord, and possibly we have walked away from it, Lord. Please forgive us. Deliver us, Lord. And restore to us, Lord, that love. The love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, love to You. Love to the brethren. Love to our neighbors. Love to people we work with. Love to whoever, Lord, that may be our enemy. Lord, let that love shine out to others today. Praise You, God. We love You, Lord. We need You. We desire You. And we ask, Father, You'd bless the meeting this afternoon, tonight, and the rest of the meetings, Father. We just ask You bless Your people, encourage Your people, Father, in these meetings. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Let's praise Him. Amen. Let's praise Him today. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise God. Greg, the Lord's with you today. And the Lord does strengthen you, my son. The Lord does let his sunlight shine upon thee. For revelation and truth shall take hold of upon thee and within thee in the days ahead. So fret not and worry not. Know that I'm putting the belt and the girdle of truth upon thee. And thy shoes shall walk in the ways of the Lord, thy feet. For I shall direct thee, my son. Know that God has heard your cry. Yea, thou hast been opened. Thou hast heard his voice in the past, and thou shalt hear it again. So fear not and fret not what man has said and what man would do, because I, the Lord, do rule over man, and I, the Lord, do speak again. And thou shalt hear clearly my voice, and thou shalt be purged, and thou shalt be purely purged, saith the Lord. And then thou shalt know the voice of the Lord clearer and even in a greater dimension. For I am with thee, saith the Lord. I do surround thee with my love and power this day. Yea, fret not and fear not what man would say again, but look to me. I am the author and finisher of your faith, and I shall establish your going out and establishing your coming in, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise our God today. Let's praise him today. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For surely the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And know that God is making you one in the flesh. And God is making you one in the spirit. And know that I've joined thee, and thou art truly becoming one. And know that the Lord shall open new doors and avenues of ministry for thee. And know that there shall be a greater boldness and confidence within thee, even in the days ahead. So fear not and fret not man's face. For yea, I am with thee to strengthen you and to establish even your going out and coming in. For surely the Lord does surround you with his power. And the Lord has taught you many things. And the Lord shall share many things through thee, even in the days ahead. And even though your enemy would come against you, yea, the Lord shall rise up within thee. And he shall flee seven times. So fear not, I am with thee to make thee strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's praise him. Amen. Let's praise our God. Let me get right back here, brother. Praise God to our sister here. The Lord has heard your cry, sister. He's heard your desire. Your desires come up before him. And yea, God is sealing you. And God is keeping you. Yea, God shall preserve you going out and coming in as well. And God just put his power within thee in the days ahead. And the Lord God shall break down strongholds and barriers. There's been a great hindrance to you and to your ministry. But know that God has heard your cry. And that cry has come up into my ears. And the Lord shall send many answers. Yea, that you've asked me about. And they shall come suddenly. And they shall come soon. Yea, I shall even speak through children. So have an ear to hear. Be attentive to the voice of thy God. And God shall speak, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Amen. Let's praise our God today. Hallelujah. Let's praise our God. I have a word for Brother Pittman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Pittman, the Lord is strong in your behalf, my son. And know that God is with thee. And God shall lead you out in this hour into new avenues of ministry. And the Lord shall enlighten and illuminate your inner man and in your mind, saith God. And know that the Spirit of God shall speak in the night season, in the time of rest. He shall speak things in the dream and in the vision. And God shall open the book to your eyes and to your heart. And thou shalt say, Lord, I've never seen it this way. For the revelation of God shall flow, my son. You have been obedient to the Lord, and the Lord God shall bless thee now. He shall open new doors, new avenues, yea, of ministry. So go forth in my name. I shall send thee, yea, even as I have, and I am with thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Amen. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sister Margaret, the Lord is with thee. And he says, fear not and fret not. I am your boldness. I am your confidence. I am your strength. I am your high tower. I'm your shield. I'm your buckler. Yea, I'm with thee this day, saith the Lord. I do surround thee with my love and my presence. Yea, fear not man's face, but fear thou God, and thou shalt be changed, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We give you honor. We give you praise, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, again, bless this camp meeting and your people. And bless the food, Lord, that we thank you for all the food, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the good fish we had last night. God, that was so good. Bless Brother George, Lord. Bless him and his home, Father. God, he was mindful of other people. Bless him, Lord, and bless the food today. We pray. And everybody said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. God love you and God bless you. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.